56 degrees, 7:37 on the Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. I've got a question for our listeners. What will you do if your boss wanted your Facebook password, and if you didn't give it up, you'd be fired? What would you do? Well, that topic has come up in states around the country, and certainly here in Michigan. And we're going to address that story next with State Representative Paul Opsomer, who's live in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Good morning.
Well, we didn't have to shoot you because it looks like you've healed, and the crutches and the cane and all that stuff's gone.
It's all gone. We're getting by just on two legs.
All right, we're going to play basketball out back here after the interview.
I'm not ready for that yet, but I'll practice this summer.
You voted to pass House Bill 5523 out of the House Energy and Technology Committee. Tell me about this bill.
The bill itself, currently the state of Michigan has absolutely nothing in statute when it comes to protecting a prospective employee or an actual employee if you're if the owner of the company or management in general ask for your personal password when it comes to your Facebook page and allow them at their discretion to go through that. I see that as a huge invasion of your privacy, Tony, because on that I can find out a lot of information about you that currently is illegal, especially in the pre-employment process.
And this could be Facebook, LinkedIn, it could be anything.
Anything at all, yeah. Yes.
What made you become interested in this?
We've had complaints from constituents in the district. We've had complaints from students at the universities where the universities are saying, you know, we want to protect our name or our reputation, in some cases when it comes to academic scholarships, they're asking for that so that they can look at the background of the person. I can, through that process, Tony, find out your religious affiliation, whether you're married, have an idea of whether you want to have kids in the future, what some of your personal plans are. It's really very similar to me opening up your personal mail for the last couple years.
Now, if my boss has asked me that, I tell him no. You can't have my password.
Which I think should be your right.
But I'd friend them, though. I mean, I got nothing to hide, you know.
And to be honest with you, Tony, when you really think about it, most people are very lax when they are on Facebook or LinkedIn and they're talking in general. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it is a private conversation, though it is not.
Right.
So I really don't need your personal password. Mm-hmm. If I just friend you, I'll know an awful lot about Tony.
How's the support been for this bill?
Actually, on both sides of the aisle, very, very strong. Very encouraged by it. Mm-hmm. Came out of committee Tuesday, and I'm hoping it'll actually be on the floor next week for a vote.
All right. When do you think you're going to wrap up everything, get out of there, and take some time to get back into your district?
We'll be done probably a week from today.
Yeah.
And I think then we'll go back to the district, and we'll start doing district hours and talking to people and seeing what they think about what we've done.
What's that been like to get done so early as opposed to what happened before Rick Snyder was governor?
Oh, gosh, it was just agony. You know, the Septembers, the weekends, the Sunday nights, the 24 hours, it was completely unnecessary. And it just showed a complete and total lack of discipline, I think, on the part of the majority back in 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010. We know what's right. We know what we have to do. We know we have to get government expenses in line with our revenue. That's what I'm most proud of, I think, the last 18 months, is the leadership Jace Bolger has shown, Randy Richardville, and our governor.
You know, it reminds me the way the governor handles this, similar to an incident I had with an umpire. Me and the opposing coach, there'd be times he'd say, you can't be out on the field because of this. Pitchers need to do. I mean, he just took control. And you didn't like it, and you didn't like being bossed around, but it kind of kept things moving, you know? And I get a sense that's what the governor does. You may not like me about it, you know, for it, but
I think what he really brought that Governor Granholm never had or I never saw or could pick up on was he has a vision. This is where we're going. Now, how we get there, he's flexible, he's open, he's willing to talk about that. But we're moving in a certain direction. And part of that is we're going to reduce the cost of government and we're going to increase our efficiency, which I completely agree with. So I think that kind of focus and that kind of vision gets everybody on board. We're all moving in the same direction. Do we have debate? Absolutely. Do we disagree with ourselves? We do that. But I think it's a mature, responsible discussion that we are currently having. And that's why we're getting good results.
You're just getting killed by the Senate, by the House Democrats, by the unions. Especially the teachers' unions saying that they're not a part of the process and you're taking care of big business, you're not taking care of the common man.
You know, I kind of laugh when I hear that because I think when I talk to individual teachers in my district, when I talk to family members who are teachers, my son, my daughter-in-law, they all see that we're doing the right thing. I have many teachers come up to me and say, Paul, we know the pension system has to be fixed. A $50 billion deficit, unfunded liability is simply not tolerable. And so they know we're going in the right direction. I think part of what you hear is the grandstanding that goes on just because, you know, they don't know what else to do. And I think you saw that the 4 years they were in charge of the House. The reason we were there at midnight, 6 a.m, is they didn't know what to do. At least we have a plan. At least we're moving forward.
Has the governor, has the Republican-led Senate and House maybe overly taken care of business and needs to maybe focus a little bit more on education? Does education need more money from your perspective?
I don't think we've over-controlled anything. I think we have given education more money. Schools in my district will get up to $300 more per pupil in the new school year starting October 1st. I think that's great. I think they deserve it. It was, for me, a very good vote, the education budget this year.
Now, David Hecker, who's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, was on this program this morning, and he said that what schools are getting back amounts to less than under $100 per pupil. Who's right?
Yeah, it really scares me when I think about they are actually teaching our kids how to add and subtract when you actually increase the per pupil allowance by $120. And then you give them additional opportunities. There's a performance bonus, and there's also a best practice bonus that they can receive. And we're trying to encourage them to do more with less. And that will amount to just a hair under $300 per school. Those are the actual numbers. But I think what you'll get, Tony, is oftentimes people will say, well, we asked for a 5% increase. You're only giving us 2%. So that's really a 3% cut. I don't play the gimmicky budget games, and I think in being on your program for the last 3 years, I'll just give you the actual facts. They're getting up to, if they can actually perform, up to $300 per pupil.
Does education need more money per pupil in the state of Michigan from your perspective?
I think they do, and we're more than willing to work with them on that. But also, I expect them to perform when we give them the money. The old rules were, give us more money and leave us alone. And those days are over.
I think the House and the Senate and the governor have dropped the ball when it comes to funding for pre-K. What do you think?
Actually, we've kept that funding there. If you look at early childhood development, that's been a priority of the governor. Now, has it had a huge increase? No, it has not. But I think that's an area that we do definitely want to work on and include more money in the coming years.
All right. I drop your name a lot when I talk about the bridge. And from your perspective, if I can recall this correctly, you're not against the bridge, but you want to make sure that anywhere down the line, someone doesn't come before the House or the Senate and say, oh, man, we need some cash. We dropped the ball here. Is that correct?
Well, I've never opposed the bridge. In fact, I'm very disappointed because I was hoping the bills would come over to the House because I was looking forward to working with the bills that were in the Senate. I don't know where the governor's on. He's kept the legislature, when it comes to the bridge, in the dark on what he's planning to do right now.
All right. Should no state money be needed for that now or in the future, would you support the bridge?
If the state is not involved in it in any way, shape, or form, that's fine. That's great.
All right. And before I let you go, okay, once we get this budget deal, once we get everything done, what do you think, just looking forward to when you come back in session in the early fall, what are you going to need to tackle?
I think transportation funding, finishing some of the efficiency pieces that we need within transportation. We do need more money for infrastructure here within the state of Michigan.
All right. He is State Representative Paul Opsomer, live in studio. Sir, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And can I say good morning to my wonderful wife, Barbara, who's driving to work right now.
Barbara, drive safely. Thank you, sir. You're listening to the Tony Connelly Morning Show on More Compelling Talk Radio 1320.